Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of 3Tune Tuesday. I am, as always, your host, Bonaparte, and 3Tune Tuesday is my opportunity to whisk you away to a time when wind-up phonographs were the height of technology, and the art of recording music was still a wonder of acoustics. Today is Tuesday, July the 30th, and you have found your way to my digital abode, a quaint cottage nestled in the sprawling digital countryside, where all are welcome. Please step inside and make yourself comfortable. Envision yourself settling into a large, plush Victorian chair, the kind that envelops you in comfort, with an old-fashioned stand-up radio beside you. Close your eyes, and let me guide you on a journey through time, back to the formative years of one and rock and roll's favorite instruments, the saxophone. As the Roaring Twenties approached, a new sound was taking the music world by storm. The saxophone. With its mellow tones and expressive capabilities, it was carving out a place in the popular music landscape. Today we're going to explore three pieces that showcase the versatility and appeal of this, at the time, relatively young instrument. The saxophone was invented by Belgian instrument maker Adolphe Sax in the 1840s. And by the 1910s, it became a staple in military bands and was beginning to make its mark in the world of popular music. Its unique voice, part brass, part woodwind, offered composers and musicians a new set of sounds to explore. This exploration would eventually lead to the saxophone becoming synonymous with jazz, but in these early days, it was still finding its footing across musical genres. Our journey today takes us from the romantic waltzes of the concert hall to the toe-tapping rhythms of early jazz, and even to a classical piece reimagined for this modern instrument. We'll hear from Rudy Weedoft, a virtuoso who helped popularize the saxophone as a solo instrument, the Columbia Saxophone Sextet, a group that brought the instrument's harmony to the masses, and the Six Brown Brothers, a family act that became one of the most famous saxophone ensembles of the early 20th century. Each of these artists played a crucial role in establishing the saxophone's place in American music, paving the way for its central role in jazz that was really just around the corner. So sit back and prepare to be transported to an era when the saxophone was new, exciting, and full of possibilities. Let's discover how this shiny, curvy instrument captured the hearts and ears of audiences in the early 1900s, setting the stage for a musical revolution. Our first selection today is a piece that beautifully demonstrates the saxophone's capacity for both elegance and emotion. Valse Erica, recorded in 1916 on the Aeolian Vocalion label, is a creation of the renowned Rudy Weedoft, a virtuoso who would come to be known as the Saxophone King. Rudy's journey to becoming the Saxophone King is a tale of dedication and innovation. Born into a musical family in Detroit in 1893, Weedoft initially played violin and clarinet. It wasn't until he was 18 that he first encountered the saxophone, an instrument that would define his career and help shape the course of popular music. His rise to fame was what we would call meteoric. By 1918, just a few years after recording the Valse Erica that we are going to listen to, he had become a household name. His popularity was such that he even appeared in early sound films, introducing the saxophone to an even wider audience. Weedoft's influence extended beyond his performances. He also composed over 300 works for the saxophone, helping to establish a repertoire for this still novel instrument. One intriguing anecdote about Weedoft's involvement involves the saxophone himself. He played a con saxophone with a straight neck, rather than the curved neck we typically see today. The story goes that Rudy accidentally sat on his saxophone, bending the neck. Upon playing it, he found that the bent neck actually improved the instrument's tone. Now, whether this tale is apocryphal or not, it speaks to the experimental nature of these early days of saxophone performances. As for Valse Erica itself, the piece is notable for several reasons. First, it exemplifies Weedoff's signature style, which he called slap-tonguing. This technique involves using the tongue to create a percussive effect, adding rhythmic interest to the melody. If you listen closely, you may hear these subtle articulations throughout the piece. The waltz form of Valse Erica is also significant. By applying his innovative saxophone techniques to this traditional dance form, Weedoff was effectively bridging the gap between classical and popular music. This fusion would become increasingly important in the coming decades as jazz began to emerge as a dominant force in American music. It's worth noting that Valse Erica was recorded acoustically, as all of our songs on 3-Tune Tuesday are, as electrical recording wouldn't be introduced until 1925, and we here play songs that were recorded prior to 1924. This means that Weedoff would have played directly into a large horn, which funneled the sound to a diaphragm connected to a cutting stylus. The fact that the nuances of his performance come through so clearly on this early recording is a testament to both Weedoff's skill as a performer and the rapid advancements being made in recording technology during this period. So as we listen to Valse Erica, I encourage you to pay attention to the way Weedoff uses vibrato dynamics and articulation to bring expressiveness to the saxophone, techniques that would influence generations of saxophonists to come. Before we continue our journey through the early days of saxophone music, I'd like to take a moment to talk about the beverage that fuels many of one of my late night listening sessions, and that is coffee. Specifically, Skeleton Brew Coffee, which is the sister brand to our very own Blind Skeleton. Now, you might wonder why a vintage music enthusiast like myself is suddenly talking about coffee, and at least part of that answer is because I am highly addicted to it. But just as much, just as we appreciate the craftsmanship that went into these early recordings, there's an art to creating and crafting the perfect cup of coffee. Skeleton Brew Coffee approaches that craft with the same dedication that Rudy Weedoff brought to his saxophone. Skeleton Brew offers 6 different roasts, ranging from light to dark. Whether you prefer a subtle, nuanced flavor or a bold, robust cup, there's a roast to suit you. And just as we value the unique sound of acoustic recordings, Skeleton Brew values freshness. Each batch of coffee is roasted only after it's ordered, ensuring that when it reaches you, it's at the peak of its flavor profile. But Skeleton Brew isn't just about creating an excellent cup of coffee. Like the musicians we celebrate on this show, who often use their talents to bring joy and support their communities, Skeleton Brew is committed to ethical practices. All their coffee is fair trade, supporting the hardworking farmers who grow these exceptional beans. And moreover, 10% of all sales are donated to nonprofit arts organizations, helping to keep the spirit of creativity alive in our communities. In fact, it's through the sales of Skeleton Brew Coffee that we're able to bring you this weekly journey into music history. So when you support Skeleton Brew, you're not just getting a superb cup of coffee, you're helping to keep these vintage tunes spinning. As we prepare to drop the needle on our next record, why not enhance your listening experience with a freshly brewed cup of Skeleton Brew Coffee? You can find Skeleton Brew at https://skeletonbrew.coffee and using the coupon code TUNE10, that is spelled TUNE10, you'll get 10% off your first purchase. Our musical journey continues with a piece that showcases the saxophone's versatility in ensemble playing. All Blues Medley, recorded in 1919 on the Columbia label by the Columbia Saxophone Sextet, played a significant role in popularizing saxophone ensembles in the early 20th century. The Columbia Saxophone Sextet was not just any group of musicians. They were, in fact, the house saxophone ensemble for Columbia Records, one of the major record labels of the era, and still a major record label. While we don't have confirmed names for all the members, we do know that the renowned Merle Johnston was a key player in the group. Johnston was known for his technical proficiency and would go on to become a highly sought-after session musician and teacher. The formation of the Columbia Saxophone Sextet was in many ways a response to the growing popularity of saxophone ensembles in the 1910s and early 1920s. Groups like the Six Brown Brothers, whom we'll hear from later, had demonstrated the public's appetite for the unique sound of multiple saxophones playing in harmony. Record companies, who of course were always keen to capitalize on trends, began forming their own in-house saxophone groups. An interesting anecdote about the Columbia Saxophone Sextet relates to their recording process. In the acoustic recording era, getting a balanced sound from 6 saxophones was no small feat at all. The musicians would have to carefully position themselves around the recording horn, with those playing lower parts often standing further back to avoid overwhelming the higher voices. It was a delicate dance of positioning and dynamics that required significant skill and practice. Now let's talk about the song, All Blues Medley. As the title suggests, this piece is a medley of blues tunes popular at the time. The blues, a distinctly American musical form, was still relatively new in 1910, having only begun to be widely recorded in the previous decade. By incorporating blues into the repertoire, the Columbia Saxophone Sextet was at the forefront of a major shift in popular music. In this recording, listen for the interplay between the different saxophone voices. You'll hear the deep, resonant tones of the bass saxophone providing a solid foundation, while the higher-pitched alto and soprano saxophones dance above with melody and counter-melody. The middle voices fill out the harmony, creating a rich, full sound that was unlike anything most listeners had heard before. Pay particular attention to the way the group navigates the transitions between different blues tunes in the medley. These smooth segues demonstrate not only the musician's technical skill, but also their deep understanding of the blues form. You might also notice moments where the saxophones imitate the blue notes and slide characteristic of blues swing singers, showcasing the instrument's ability to mimic the human voice. So as we pause between our musical selections, I'd like to take a moment to share with you the broader world of Blind Skeleton, the organization behind this weekly auditory journey through time. Blind Skeleton is more than just the home of Three Tune Tuesday. It's a sanctuary for those who, like myself, find joy and fascination in the entertainment of yesteryear. At the website, https://blindskeleton.one, we've created a digital time capsule preserving and celebrating the vintage media that shaped our cultural landscape. Imagine, if you will, a curated museum where each exhibit transports you to a different era of entertainment. That's what you'll find at Blind Skeleton. We offer in-depth reviews of vintage cameras, those marvelous machines that captured fleeting moments and turned them into lasting memories. These reviews aren't just technical assessments, they're explorations of how these devices shaped the art of photography and cinematography. And speaking of cinematography, our love for the moving image runs just as deep. We delve into the world of black and white movies, examining how filmmakers used light and shadow to create mood and meaning in the absence of color. We also celebrate the unique artistry of silent films, where actors conveyed entire stories through gesture and expression, accompanied by nothing more than title cards and live music. And of course, music holds a special place in our hearts, as evidenced by this very podcast. On the Blind Skeleton website, you'll find explorations of various musical genres and eras, tracing the evolution of popular music from its earliest recordings to the dawn of the rock and roll era. And there is, of course, the 24th streaming of classic old-time radio shows. Day and night, you can tune into https://radio.blindskeleton.1 or https://blindskeleton.1/radio and be transported to an era when families gathered around the radio for their evening entertainment. From comedy to drama, mystery to western, these programs showcase the power of audio storytelling at its finest. I encourage you to visit us at https://blindskeleton.1 and explore all we have to offer. Follow us on social media to stay updated on our latest reviews and features. And if you enjoy what you find, consider signing up for our mailing list. We'll keep you informed about new content, special events, and perhaps even some exclusive insights into the vintage entertainment we all cherish. And now, with that invitation to further exploration extended to you, let's return to our musical program and our final selection for today. And our final selection for today takes us back to 1914, a year that saw the world on the brink of significant change. As Europe teetered on the edge of war, a family of Canadian musicians was revolutionizing popular entertainment in North America. These were the Six Brown Brothers, and the recording we are going to listen to is La Paloma, recorded on the Victor label. Now, the Six Brown Brothers were a Canadian-American saxophone sextet led by Tom Brown. Now, for some of its time, the group consisted of five brothers, Tom, Alex, Percy, Vern, and Fred, and sometimes William Marquard, who became an honorary brother. Their story is one of family innovation and the power of a new musical sound. The brothers began their musical careers playing in circus bands, an environment that demanded both skill and showmanship. It was in this colorful world that they honed their craft, learning to captivate audiences with both their musical prowess and their stage presence. By 1914, when La Paloma was recorded, they had become one of the most popular vaudeville acts in North America. One of their interesting points was their stage attire. They were known for performing in clown makeup and costumes, a visual spectacle that complemented their unique sound. This theatrical approach to music performance was a hallmark of vaudeville and helped to cement the group's popularity. One can only imagine the sight of six grown men in clown attire, each wielding a saxophone. Now let's talk about the song, La Paloma. This piece was originally a Spanish habanera and composed by Sebastian Aradier in the 1860s. By the time the Six Brown Brothers recorded it in 1914, it had become a popular standard, recorded by numerous artists. However, the Brown Brothers made it their own, and their saxophone arrangement brought something entirely new to this familiar tune. Listen for the way the saxophones weave together. This group were masters of arrangement, understanding how to utilize the full range of the saxophone family to create a rich, full sound. And arguably, it was the Six Brown Brothers that revolutionized the saxophone and led the way for other groups such as the Columbia saxophone sextet we heard previously to actually become popular in and of themselves. It's worth noting that this 1914 recording was made at a pivotal time for the Six Brown Brothers. In this same year, they would make their Broadway debut in Chin Chin, a performance that would catapult them to even greater fame. And I would like to point out that the opening and closing 30 seconds of this particular podcast is from the Six Brown Brothers recording of Peter Gink. Now that brings us to the end of our show for today. We've explored the early days of the saxophone, tracing its evolution from a novelty instrument to a mainstay of American musical culture. Through these recordings, we've witnessed a crucial period in the saxophone's history, a time when talented musicians were exploring the instrument's possibilities and audiences were falling in love with its unique voice. If you've enjoyed today's show and want to delve deeper into the world of vintage entertainment, I invite you to connect with us on social media. You can find Blind Skeleton on various platforms. On Blue Sky, our handle is blindskeleton.bsky.social. On Instagram, look for @blindskeletonvintage. On Facebook, you can find us at blindskeleton.vintage. And on Twitter, we're @blindskeleton. This is Bonaparte bidding you farewell from my digital cottage in this sprawling digital countryside. Remember, in the whirlwind of the modern world, there's always a place here where the music of yesteryear plays on. Have a fantastic day.